Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for consideration today is recorded in the book of Hebrews 13, and I also share the seventh commandment. From Hebrews 13, 14 to 16, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And the seventh commandment, "You shall not steal." What does this mean? "We should fear and love God that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions, nor get them in a dishonest way, but we should help him to improve and protect his property and way of making a living." So far the word. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is mine and the gold, says the Lord. The sea is his, for he made it. As our scriptures gleaned here and there from the Bible that show that our omnipotent God, the great creator of the world, is also the great owner of the world and all that it contains. You and I might be inclined to say, "I own that book," or "he owns that house," or "that truck." And that's true in a sense, but in reality, all the worldly goods we call ours have an invisible label attached that reads "property of God." Today's sermon, we're going to receive counsel from God in regard to the proper and improper uses of his property, which he has commended to our care and wise management during our earthly days. Under the theme, "Sharing is good and godly, stealing is not." So if God is the owner of everything, and he is, how does he provide us the things that we call our own? In youth instruction class, in connection with our study of the seventh commandment, I sometimes ask the pupil questions like, "Did it ever happen that you walked into your bedroom one day and all of a sudden, miraculously, clothes appeared in your closet? Or did you ever walk into the kitchen and see a sizzling hot pizza there prepared on the table for your family to enjoy?" Well, no, of course not. And then we talk about how God does not supply his gifts to us today using such supernatural means as he once did in Bible times on various occasions, like when he provided food for the Israelites in the desert by having manna and quail appear morning and evening for them. Or like when he blessed the Zarephath widow with a flour bin that never got used up and a jar of oil that never ran dry during the famine in the days of Elijah. But that he chooses to supply the things that we need for our bodily welfare by giving us the ability to study and learn things at school when we're young, to get a job, earn a paycheck, and then to buy stuff. He may also bless us through a family inheritance or by us receiving presents from other people. And though we do not see that label attached to that shirt or that apple that we eat or the money in our wallet and our other belongings, property of God, produced by God, it is true, for apart from his blessing, we would not have anything. In his goodness, he lovingly provides me with all that I need for my bodily welfare, and then he gives to other people what they need for their earthly lives. And then the seventh commandment, he teaches us to think of ourselves, we who already have in our possession the greatest of all riches, God's Son coming from heaven to acquire for us forgiveness for our sins, the comfort of being God's children, the confidence to pray, comfort in days of trouble, and of course, the inheritance of heaven. He encourages us to think of ourselves as managers of the less valuable material wealth he gives us, that he then wants us to distribute in a wise way for others' blessing. Or another way to look at it, God wants you to think of your life as a great ship loaded with rich cargo. God's the owner. He made you the captain, and your job as captain is to bring God's ship into port and to offload what's on board for the benefit of others. Using some of the cargo to take care of yourself, your own needs, some for your family's needs, some to help the needy, some to pay taxes to the government, some to support the work of God's church for the spreading of the gospel of Christ. And the cargo on board the ship of your life also includes talents the Lord has given you. Maybe it's a talent for teaching children about Jesus in Sunday school. Maybe it's the gift of showing special empathy for those suffering difficult trials in their lives. Maybe it's the gift of providing leadership to God's church, or to serve Jesus as part of the support troops and behind-the-scenes ways. Could be a musical talent for leading your fellow Christians in worship of the Savior. Or maybe it's the gift of contributing liberally for the Lord's work financially. Or an aptitude for fixing things and helping to maintain and beautify the Lord's house. Whatever it is, you may have many types of cargo on board your ship, many more than just one type of gift. God has entrusted it to you in his love and granted you the privilege of using it for his glory and the blessing of others. Now, all the things we've mentioned so far may be viewed as the positive side of the seventh commandment, the do's side. What the Lord wills for us to do with the things he's given us as his thankful children. What's the don'ts side? Of course, that'd be called stealing. Very common vice and done in lots of different ways. Stealing other people's property, hear about it in the news a lot, by force, by robbing a bank or holding up a convenience store or stealing someone else's property in a sneaky way by shoplifting or porch pirating or email scamming. Other forms of stealing include, you ever hear of this on the news, flash mobs? They go in and loot stores like during a day of a disaster. Or defacing property God has given to others by vandalism. Like someone did a while back, our church sign threw a rock through our sign and broke it, so we had to pay money to get it fixed. Defrauding an employer by being lazy on the job, that's like stealing from your employer. Able-bodied persons freeloading off of others while refusing to do any work when they could. And being wasteful with gifts that God gives to us, like with food as one example. Such are all examples, and there are many others, that Satan tempts people to break the Lord's seventh commandment, which of course starts in the heart with the sin of greed, the love of money, and the sin of discontentment, which we'll be talking about a little bit more in a couple of weeks, God willing, when we get to Commandments 9 and 10, the sin of coveting other people's property. But let's be encouraged, dear friends, to consider a couple scriptures or ponder some scriptures for our comfort and encouragement as God's people, and wonderful incentive for keeping the seventh commandment. One of the stories I thought of was, it's in Luke's gospel, and you've heard it. Holy Spirit inspired the evangelist to record for us there the delightful story of Zacchaeus. Luke tells us how Jesus was passing through Jericho one day where this Zacchaeus man lived. He was a chief tax collector and a man of immense wealth. However, he had gained his immense wealth and was notorious for his collecting more tax money than the law required and padding his bank account with the extra. Probably would call him a scam artist today. Jesus was heading his way on the road of Jericho, and Zacchaeus apparently had heard Jesus preach and teach on other occasions. He wanted a chance to see him and maybe listen more to what he had to say, but being short in stature, he couldn't see over the crowd, and so he climbed up into a sycamore tree along the path that he knew Jesus was going to walk. Jesus reached that spot. He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come on now. I want to stay with you at your house today." And so Zacchaeus scrambled down, welcomed Jesus into his home. Well, everybody who saw this was starting to grumble. Now, Jesus has gone to be in the house of a man who's a sinner. But it was during the meal that, this was at Zacchaeus' house, and he got up and he said to Jesus, "Lord, I plan to give half my property to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Zacchaeus was so happy to hear Jesus' words of eternal life. He probably was thinking, "Can a man like me be saved and forgiven for the bad things I've done?" He was so happy to hear the gospel message that to show his gratitude, he did that. Such, friends, is the power of the gospel of Christ also in our hearts and lives today. And we who bask in the sunshine of God's love are likewise moved to reflect God's love to others by sharing, by shifting our concerns from getting to giving, from being discontented with the things God has given us, the amount of things, to satisfaction and contentment, and by striving prayerfully to use our God-given gifts of time and talents and treasure for the Lord's glory and the good of other people. Because we're so happy to have, like Zacchaeus, that's what Jesus said. He said, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." He's a believer. He trusted me as a Savior, the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Another scripture to be reminded of, it contains a lot of gospel encouragement. I'd like to share words of Paul to the Christians at Corinth. It's the letter that Paul penned to these Christians living in that Greek city. Here Paul highlighted, it was in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, he highlighted for the Corinthians and us the grace, that is the undeserved love, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became poor for us so that we might through his poverty be rich. Jesus divested himself of his divine glory to serve us in love as our humble servant so that we might through him become rich in the things that really count. Forgiveness of sins, assurance of God's love, being possessed of all the treasures of heaven, regardless of how much or how little amounts we may or may not have in terms of worldly wealth. And be reminded again that for Jesus to make that happen for you and me, he had to keep the seventh commandment. And he did. Gave himself to others throughout his life. He was always eager and ready to share both God's spiritual gifts, most importantly, and then also temporal blessings, like when he fed a crowd of 5,000 on one occasion, and on another occasion, a crowd of 4,000 with loaves and fish. And one detail of that story that I think is worth also noting, both of those stories, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, is that afterwards he instructed his disciples to pick up the leftover fragments so that nothing would get wasted. So Jesus kept the commandment of God by the seventh, by appreciating those gifts of bread and not letting them go to waste. And then, of course, he gave his life as a ransom on the cross, enduring the curse of God, the wrath of God, the punishment of God for our sins against the seventh and all the other commandments, so that we will never. Scripture to share in closing in a prayer from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we pray then, Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have commanded that we should receive your many blessings with thankful and generous hearts. Give us your grace, we pray, to use all of our talents and abilities for your praise and for the good of others. Help us to respect the gifts and possessions you've given to others, so that we might encourage all people to trust in your mercy and love in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you for sending us Jesus, your dear Son, by whose work you've made us to be eternally rich. In his name we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold.